thank you that you have told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to come together on this Sunday to worship you with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, Father, thank you again. Bless us with your manifest presence, dear God. Let us be like those brothers who talked to Jesus on the road to Emmaus that day. And when Jesus left them, they said, did not our hearts burn? So allow our hearts to burn with your word today, dear God, that we might all the more be more surrendered to you, more in love with you, dear Jesus, than when we first came. Speak now, dear God, for your people are waiting to hear. And then, Father, as we hear, give us a willingness, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might indeed have the power and the wherewithal to do what thus saith the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise just for me and God. That's reason enough right there. He's God. I don't have to say any extra stuff. Just that he's God. And that's reason enough to worship him and praise him right there. I'm going to ask members of the Burst family, I ask you all to stand real briefly. Tyler's family. Amen. 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 Thank God for you all being with us today. Really have been a blessing getting to know you all Friday and even yesterday. So thank you all for coming to worship the Lord. I like how y'all worship the Lord. I like how y'all, it wasn't just Sunday morning. It was worshiping on Friday and last night too. So it wasn't just Sunday morning. So we thank God for you all. Thank God for you all. Yes, he is. 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 He's a good God. I'm going to ask the Kelly family to stand too. The Kelly family to stand real quickly. They really one family now, but I just thought I'd Kelly's and Burst, stand right quick. Get your more extra. Kelly's and the Burst, stand up real quick. Get some extra. Tyler and Kayla, they was like, who do we stand with? Who do we stand with? The Kelly's or the Burst? Y'all all together now. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you all. And it's good to have all of you out here today. As I said, I look around, see some of our college students here, and see some others here. So it's good to have all of you out here in the house of the Lord this morning. Sermon this morning is going to come from Psalms 107, and we read verses 1 through 9 earlier in your hearing, and I'm going to focus on verses 1 through 6 primarily. Psalms 107 verses 1 through 6 primarily. Psalms 107 verses 1 through 6. And if you can stand, stand one more time, please. If you can stand, and as we read the Word of God, I often say this: we love the Lord, we reverence the Lord, and one of the ways to show our reverence to Him is when we stand by the reading of the Word of God, in honor of the Lord and His holy and precious Word. Psalms 107 verses 1 through 6. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and the psalmist says. The psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Listen to these dilemmas. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then, somebody say then. It's kind of like but or then or but. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he, our Lord, our God, delivered them out of their distresses. I'm going to preach this simple thought this morning. Many reasons to give thanks to our God. Many reasons to give thanks to our God. You may be seated. There are many, many reasons to give thanks to our God. Many reasons to give thanks to our God. You may encounter some people today or tomorrow, or maybe Thursday, as you gather together for your family gatherings, who may be kind of skeptical or don't really see why or reasons to give thanks to our God. They might say things like, look at America, look at the fabric of this country, how we got all this division and stuff going on in America today, and how even the different ethnic groups, there are different divisions that are seemingly widening rather than narrowing. Some people might say, well, look, even at the political system, you know, I often kind of call it a toxic political situation, starting all the way from the White House, going down through both political parties. So people might say, well, I don't have anything to really be thankful for. Look at all this crazy stuff going on. Look at this wide gap that's getting wider and wider between what we call the haves and the have-nots. You know, only 3 or 4% of the U.S. population control roughly about 90% of the wealth in this country. So people might say, man, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Somebody might say, well, all this crazy, you know, violence going on. I got a little app on my phone. I think I'm going to disable it. It gives highlight, you know, headlines of what's going on. So if it's not, unfortunately, some kind of shooting at a church or a synagogue or some kind of shooting at the mall or just a mass shooting at one of our schools, or if it's not that, if it's not this, it's gang violence. You know, a lot of our young men caught up in gang violence, and just all types of things are going on. And so some people are probably saying, what do we have to be thankful for? Not only that, you can look around at what we call natural disasters. We as the Christians and people who believe in God, we know God is ultimately in control of all things. But we look at things that are going on, you know, wildfires, you know, things like earthquakes, hurricanes, and just all types of calamities are going on. And then even, let's narrow it even a little more. We can look around, and I'm excited, just did a wedding on Friday, but you look around and you see men marrying men and women marrying women. And so people say, man, what do I have to be thankful for? All this crazy stuff going on. Even let's narrow it on down even a little bit more to the Christian church. Due to research, people who research these types of things, allegedly they say roughly 90%, listen to this stat, roughly 90% of the churches in the United States of America are kind of plateaued as it relates to attendance, be it they're about the same or they're decreasing. That's what the experts say. So even that, and even much more than numerical growth in the church, unfortunately, it seems as though that the Christian church, it seems as though that the followers of Christ, it seems as though that our churches have become somewhat impotent, somewhat weak. And that's good to know that we have the Bible. I said it's good to know that we have the Bible. If not, I would be concerned. I would be worried. But Jesus himself said, the gates of hell, the very gates of hell, shall not prevail against my church. My church. So if we don't look through the right lens, you and I might would even be sucked into thinking about, well, what really do I have to be thankful for? But just in case somebody have forgotten it, I mean, I said it earlier, we have much to be thankful for. I thank God that things aren't worse than what they are. It's really man's fault anyway. Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and allowed sin to come into the world. I mean, we live in a sin-cursed world. But God is still in control. I said, God is still in control. Even in Genesis 3, he said, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send a savior to rectify what you all messed up. I'm going to fix it up. So you and I have much to be thankful for. He woke us up this morning. I said, he woke us. That's what grandmama used to say. He woke us up this morning in reasonable health and strength, sound and in our right mind. I used to not understand that. I used to say, well, grandmama, you're going too far. Somebody woke you up in your right mind. But as I've gotten a little older, I can understand a little better now. I'm glad God woke me up in my right mind. Some people woke up this morning, but they didn't wake up in their right mind. Some people woke up, they didn't even know where they were. But God has been so good to us. He woke us up. He put food on the table. He's put clothes on our backs. And y'all looking good this morning. He put clothes on our backs. Has given us a mode of transportation. You got here one way or another this morning. It might have been by car to bus. It might have been by the church bus. Somebody might have picked you up. It might have been by in your own nice little good smelling new car. Or you might have been by a hoopty. But if it was a hoopty, at least it's paid for. You know, it's paid for. God has given us many blessings. So many blessings. So I just stopped by here on my way to heaven to tell you and to remind us that God has given us many, many blessings. So even as you look forward to Thursday on that day that's full of F's, you know, it's bad to get an F in school, but on Thursday is full of F's. I call it the day that's full of faith. You know, you come together and talk about the Lord. Thursday is a great day of family coming together, right? Family also is a good day of friends coming together, which results in fellowship. That's another F, right? Right? So a lot of F's going on Thursday. And also for some of us, a little bit of football even on Thursday. Somebody said, well, I skip over that. Pastor, well, let me give you another F. But you even got Black Friday coming. So all kind of F's around Thursday. But as you come together, as you and I come together, as Christians, as followers of Christ, let us always be reminded that we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be grateful for. Even as we just sang the song, and I was excited as many of you were, that we have so much to be grateful for. Every now and then, if I want to get on a little pity party or something, Deacon Lowe, I just begin to think about Sister Michelle. That, hey, wait a minute. I got a long list of stuff I can be grateful and thankful for before I begin to complain about this little stuff over here. I got a big old list over here. So reasons to be thankful. In this psalm before Psalm 107, it starts out. He just gets right to the point. He gives us like a command, saints. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. So if you're taking notes this morning, write that down. I mean, it's reason enough to give thanks just because we serve a good God. I'm not making it up. It's right in the Bible. It's right in the Bible. We serve a good God. And any of us that got any age on us, any of us who've tracked with the Lord any amount of time, you will say, you will agree with me, you will shout with me, that our God is good. We serve a God. The DNA of our God, he's intrinsically good. Now, he has many attributes. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a good God. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. He has many attributes. He's a God who is holy. He has many attributes. But you can't convince me that our God is not good. Our God is good even when we think he's being bad. Listen, aren't you glad you're not stuck in some false religion, some cult with some evil, detached, diabolical deity? Aren't you glad that you serve a God who is indeed with us? And he told us he would never leave us, Brother Tyler. He would never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with you. I mean, he wants to be with us so much that he came down through 42 generations, born of a virgin Mary. And he said, my name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then when Jesus got ready to leave planet Earth, he told his disciples, he said, look guys, I know y'all been following me for about a little over three years. I'm getting ready to leave. I know y'all a little upset, y'all a little anxious, y'all a little nervous, but look, I'm going to send you another helper. Another comforter, another of the exact same kind. And guess what? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit came. And for every Christian, God the Holy Spirit tabernacle or lives, resides inside of us. Our God is always with us. He is a good God. And for that reason alone, we ought to thank him each and every day. God, I thank you are a good God. I thank you're not some old evil, crazy, jacked up, false God. You are the true and living, the good God, a holy God. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is just. He's a good God. So you and I ought to thank him just because he's a good God. That's reason number one. Just thank him because he is a good God. This is going to be a very basic, simple, right from the Bible sermon this morning. Thank God because he's good. You can't leave here today talking about, well, I didn't understand the preacher today. I didn't understand what he was talking about. No, I'm saying thank God because he's good. That's clear for all of us, right? Give thanks just because God is good. Look at the rest of this verse. It's another reason to give thanks. For his mercy endures, how long, saints? Forever. That's reason enough to give thanks right there. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is everlasting. His mercies for his people does not run out. That's a good reason to give thanks. We serve a God, my brothers and sisters, whose mercy is everlasting. Prophet Jeremiah said it much better than I. Jeremiah said, when you wake up in the morning, he said, each morning I get up, I got some new mercies. See, yesterday was kind of rough. I did some crazy stuff and some crazy stuff happened to me. And so I used up all of Saturday's mercies. And so I laid down last night. And when I got back up this morning, God said, I got some new mercies for you. I got some new mercies. His mercies are new every morning. I hinted at this last week in Psalms 23 and 6. The psalmist said, wait a minute. He said, I got some stuff following me. He said, God's goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That sounds like everlasting. That sounds like it doesn't run out to me. It's some good stuff following us. The child of God, it's some good stuff following us. What? God's goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm just talking about some reason to be thankful. I'm glad that God's goodness and his mercy follows me all the days of my life. It's like, my left leg is goodness and my right leg is mercy. Left leg is goodness and my right leg is mercy. So every time I walk, his goodness is right there with me. I take another step, his mercy is right there with me. I take another step, his goodness, oh y'all don't hear me, it's right there. So when I'm walking, I'm thinking, wait a minute, his goodness and his mercy is right there with me. Some of y'all didn't get that. Let me, we can't make assumptions these days in today's Christian church. God's mercy, let me give it to you a real easy, Brother Howard, a real easy, Sister Howard, and simple definition for mercy, which does not run out. Catch that now. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. So mercy, here it is. Y'all heard this before. Mercy is God not giving us what we did deserve. God not giving us what we do deserve. This is not necessarily a popular statement that I'm about to make, but it's a true statement. All of us, listen to me well, all of us deserve hell. All of us deserve to be eternally separated from the grace and the mercy and the love of God. All of us deserve to receive eternal torment and wrath from a holy God. That's what we deserve. Romans 3 said, all have sinned. Somebody said, all. All have sinned. This is the gospel. This is the gospel 101. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, everybody has. And then Romans 6 tells us that the wages or the payment of sin is death. And that's not just talking about just physical death, but that's talking about eternal separation from God. So let's see. Everybody has sinned. The payment for everybody, and that's everybody who has sinned, is to be eternally separated from God in a terrible place called hell. Everybody has sinned. The payment that you and I have to pay is to be forever in hell. All of us got a problem then. But Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God being rich in mercy, God being rich in mercy, by grace you have been saved. Even though I deserved hell, even though you deserved hell, God being a God who is rich in mercy sent his son to take our place. So for that reason, you and I, if you put your trust in Christ, you will not have to go to hell. Oh, that's reason enough right there to thank him. That's reason enough right there to thank our God that I'm not in eternity, that I'm not in hell even right now. The church knows I've shared this with you all before. Back in 1989, before I came to Christ, I was religious. I was in church, kind of like Brother car accident, like Brother Tyler had recently. And I could have lost my life right over on 3rd Street, head-on car collision. And it dawned on me that day. The Lord pricked my heart that day that if I would have died that day, I would have gone to hell. And I could not, even that day, I couldn't shake my faith. God, no, that wouldn't be fair. I knew that day, that was my just reward. That's where I should have gone. But oh, I'm glad I serve a good God. I'm glad I serve a God who canceled that request. I was on my way to hell, but God, being rich in mercy, God whose mercy never runs out, intercepted me on my road to hell and put me on a road to heaven. I gotta walk this out. I was headed to hell. And was really kind of glad about it, headed to hell. But God turned me around, and now, by the grace and mercy of God, by the grace and mercy of God, which is everlasting, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. So you can't tell me I don't have something to be thankful about to my God. I'm going to thank him throughout all eternity that I'm not in that crazy place called hell. But I'm on my way to heaven. So the psalmist says, give thanks to God because he is good. And give thanks to God because his mercy endures forever. Sometimes, I know I got some Bible readers in the house. Sometimes I think we read our Bibles too fast. Sometimes I think we need to kind of slow down. I don't really like you reading the newspaper or something. Or Reader's Digest or something. Slow down. Take your time. God, you mean you've given me mercy and it's going to endure forever? I don't have to worry about tomorrow or next week. I mean, I need to pray and do what I need to do and plan. Yes, but God, he said he has tomorrow taken care of. He has financial mercies for you. He has healing mercies for you. He has all that stuff taken care of. So give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. And then it says, those whom he has redeemed, verse 2, those whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, one translation says. Another translation says, he who has redeemed from trouble. That's what another translation says. So God has redeemed us, has protected us, has gotten us back from the enemy. That's a reason to say thank you. The enemy had us. I said the enemy had us. When I talk about the enemy, really, there are three types of enemies that come in three categories. One is, of course, this world system that's set up and is actually directly opposed, opposite of the word of God. That's one of our enemies. Another enemy, of course, is the old devil. He's our enemy. He's the adversary. He's the tempter. But watch this. The devil, I had to disagree with Flip Wilson and Geraldine. You know, she said, the devil made me do it. The younger folks are like, now, what, Pastor, what are you talking about? Some of the older folks might remember the Flip Wilson show back in the 60s and 70s. Geraldine said, the devil made me do it. Now, the devil can't make you or me do nothing. The devil can't make us do nothing. Now, he can tempt us. He's the accuser of the brethren. But look, you know, we got the world, that's our enemy. We got the devil, that's our enemy. But our greatest enemy, I saw my greatest enemy this morning. When I got up and looked in that mirror, I saw my greatest, that joker that was looking back at me, that's my greatest enemy right there. This flesh. But because of God, because of the power of God, guess what? The enemy, even the flesh, does not have power over us anymore. Sin is no longer my master. Yeah, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Yeah, we do sin. We do get off track. But sin is, as a Christian, sin is no longer my master. I said, I'm just going to speak for me. Sin is no longer my master. I got a new master. I'm under new management. I'm under new management. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I like how he run his business much better than what sin and flesh did. So the Bible says we can be thankful because he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. So another reason, if you're taking notes, you know, give thanks because God is good. Give thanks because his mercy is everlasting. It never runs out. Give thanks because we have been redeemed. We have been set free. We have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only the Lamb of God could redeem us. You know, your goodness or my goodness couldn't do it. It wasn't good enough. God had to send his best. He had to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why John looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. So Christ himself came and died a substitutionary death for you and for me. We really deserve to die on the cross. But God took our place. Jesus took our place. I said, Jesus took our place. That's why we call it the substitutionary death. He died in our place. And then the Bible even said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if the Lord has done something for you, you ought to say something. You ought to at least just you know, wave your hand, bat your eye, clap your, you know, stomp your foot, say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you ought to thank the Lord that he has and he is in the process of freeing you from your enemies. You know, as a Christian, he's delivered us from something. If you're saved, you've been saved from something. Now, as I look around, I'm sure all of us still got some stuff in our lives that he's working on. But thank him from the stuff that he's already delivered you from. I said, thank him from the things he's already rescued you from. Thank him from the stuff he's already brought you out of. So maybe even this morning, if there's some stuff still in your life that you need to be delivered from, name it and say, Lord, take this out of my life. It might be pride. It might be jealousy or anger. It might be some sexual sin. It might be unforgiveness. It might be a heart of unforgiveness. It might be envy. It might be depression or greed. Or you might be suffering from lack of self-esteem or maybe fear or anxiety or whatever those things or whatever that thing is. There used to be a show years ago talking about name that tune. Whatever that thing is, whatever that stronghold is, name that thing to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm bringing you this pride today. I'm bringing you this unforgiveness today, and I want you to take it out of my life. He can take it out of your life. I said, he can take it out of your life. I mean, check this out. If he removed that, I sure don't know he can remove this. He got me over that. So I know he can get me over this. I mean, he can do it, right? I mean, can he do it? Won't he do it? Or better yet, hadn't he already done it? His track record is impeccable. So, you know, his track record, I mean, God, it's nothing too hard for our God. I mean, we often say a lot of these little cliches. Sometimes I wonder, do we really mean them or believe them? And some of them are even Bible verses. We do say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? But then in the very next sentence, Brother Robert, we're turning around and going, well, you know, I'm only human. You know, I'm just flesh, you know. I thought you just said you can do all things through Christ. That's the key, through Christ. You're right. In my own, no, I can't do it. In my own strength, I can't do it. But through Christ. I said, through Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So be thankful because God is good. Thank him because his mercy endures forever. It lasts forever. It never ends. Thank him because he has redeemed you. He has set you free. He sets you free from the enemy. So you ought to thank him. So you ought to think, don't be talking about, well, I don't really know anything to be thankful for. No, just do a Rolodex just for a moment. I mean, really time would not permit us to even give all the things that God does for us on a regular basis. Things that we take for granted. Anybody with me this morning? He delivered you from the hands of the enemy. You know, Satan had you. Self consumed you. Society seduced you. Say it again. Satan has you. Self consume you. Society seduce you. But God. He is a mighty deliverer. I said, he's a mighty deliverer. He can break chains. He's a chain breaker. He's a chain breaker. So even today, as you leave church today, there's some things in your life that are not quite right. Some things in your life that are not pleasing to God. I leave them here at the altar of God. Leave them at the foot of the cross. The Lord says, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. We have a God who cares. We have a God who somebody wants to, well, Lord, how much do you care? And he said, he stretched out his hands and he nailed them to the cross. We serve a God who cares. We serve a God who cares. Jesus, he's a God who cares. And so, Psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has delivered from the hand of the enemy. And then he says, and he's gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This psalm before us was written specifically for the children of Israel. And this psalm, as you look at the different verses, and of course we won't go through all of it this morning, it pictures different types of struggles that the Israelites, the people of God, had gone through. And so even as, you know, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's good to know even as a Christian here today, as Colossians 3 tells us, that we've been as Gentiles, we've been grafted in. biologically we're not Jews. Now, biologically we're not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in Christ, Colossians 3 said we are heirs with Abraham. And so even the pattern of this psalm, let me just give you the highlights real quickly of this psalm. Different things that they had gone through. The Israelites, they had wandered in the wilderness. Verses 3, 4, and 5 kind of talks about that. That was probably when they had come out of Egypt, when they had been in prison, and they wandered around, you know, in the wilderness for 40 years. That's in verses 3, 4, and 5. And then also in verses 10 through 16 of Psalms 107, it talks about God's people when they were in prison. Now, all of us, you know, not literally in prison, but all of us have been in some type of prison in our lives. You know, you might be in prison by something even this morning. And then verses 17 through 22 talks about God's people enduring sickness. And then in verses 23 through 32 of Psalm 107, it talks about God's people, how they were in a storm. So think about that. All these different type of issues or problems, my brothers and sisters. Talks about prison, talks about enduring sickness, talks about being in a storm. All of us have gone through some type of storms. All of us have gone through some type of sicknesses. So here it is. These were calamities. These were things that were happening to the people of God. Now, I can't preach what some people preach. I can't tell you as a Christian, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Just name it and claim it, nab it and grab it, call it and haul it, everything. Just name your blessing. Now, we live in a fallen world. Jesus, I go with the words of Jesus better than some of the, you know, there's a lot of good TV preachers. Don't get me wrong, but some of them don't. Some of the stuff they propagate is not quite biblical. So I go with the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's what he said. But then he said, take courage. I've overcome the world. You just track with me. You just roll with me. I'll show you how to deal with this world. You're going to have some trouble. But just stay with me because I've overcome the world. So here it is. The people of God, they were going through these different issues. And it's amazing, though. It's amazing. And we can take a page out of their book, saints. Look at what they did when they went through these tough times. Just like verses 3 and 4 and 5 of the text says, verse 4 says they wandered in the wilderness. In a desolate way, they found no city to dwell in. Verse 5 says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Paul just was a little asterisk, side note, comic relief real quickly. Hungry. Thursday is coming up. Thursday is coming up. And I know some people start cooking even tomorrow, you know, Monday or Tuesday. Get those greens out and get stuff going. And you know, check this out. I'm from the country now, over in Arkansas, so I can talk about this. Some of y'all start getting those chitlins ready. Getting them. I'm not hating on chitlins. I just don't eat. Everybody in my family, my daddy ate chitlins, my mother ate chitlins, my brother ate chitlins. I was about to say all the Oakland chitlins eat chitlins. But I just, as a little boy, I saw him cleaning them one time, and I just couldn't. And then, to make it worse, I stepped into my grandmother's house, and she was cooking them bad boys. And I was like, Grandmama, what is that? Something to crawl up in your house and die. She's like, boy, shut up. I'm cooking chitlins. All right. You can keep them chitlins. So enjoy fellowship on Thursday. Enjoy fellowship on Thursday. But the saints in the text, they said, they were wandering around. It was thirsty. They were thirsty and hungry. And then it even says, listen, it said their soul fainted in them. So it sounds like a pretty bleak outlook, right? They're hungry, they're thirsty, the soul's fainted in them. And then I love verse 6. Verse 6 said, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what happened, saints? And the Lord, he delivered them out of their distresses. I love that. It's a reoccurring theme in this psalm. It's a reoccurring theme. If you don't believe me, if your Bible's open or you got your e-device ready, look at verse 13. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Anybody getting excited yet? I'm getting excited. And then verse 19 says, then they cried out to the Lord. I'm not stuttering. Here it is right here in the Bible. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. So that was kind of like past tense of telling what God had done. And we all got some history with God. God has done some amazing things in our life. It's been important in my life and your life, Brother Terrence, when we've cried out to God and God has saved us in our moment of trouble. But then I love the way verse 28 says, it's like present tense, like right now and going forward. Verse 28 of Psalms 107 says, then they cry, like present tense. They cry, not cried, passing, but they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And what happens? He brings them out of their distresses. So I love that God's people, they messed up, they bumped their head. These things came into their life because of their sin. But they repented, they turned to God, they cried out to God, and God saved them. God brought them out of their distresses. One theologian says it this way. See, man's predicament, that's the sin, man's predicament, man's petition, and then God's pardon. Let me say that again. Man's predicament, then man's petition, he cries out, and then God's pardon. See it's a crazy cycle that sometimes we get on. It's crazy merry-go-round, and it's not to glorify this merry-go-round, but sometimes people, and these are the people of God, sometimes they get in this rut, or they do something wrong. We call that sin, and then they sin against God, but then they confess and they repent of their sin, and then God pardons them. That's a good God. That's a good God. Let me be clear, though, in my articulation this morning. Many of our sins, even though we can and will be, can be forgiven of sin, sometimes sin leaves some negative residue. So sometimes there are some consequences that even though judicially God said, forgiven, I've forgiven you, it's wiped out. Sometimes there's still some things that are left behind. Y'all with me? But even with that, God has grace and mercy to help us to even deal with those situations. I thank God once again for his bountiful grace and his mercy. So the saints in this text, that was their pattern. They messed up. They bumped their head. They cried out. God answered. They bumped their head. They cried out. God answered. I mean, God is such a long suffering God. Now that's not to presuppose or to play footsies with sin, but God is a patient and a loving and a forgiving God. I mean, think about it, saints. If God just got us every time we messed up, guess what? Look around. Wouldn't be nobody in here. You wouldn't be in here. I wouldn't be in here. So God is slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. That's what he told Moses. He said, I'm slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. So reason to give God thanks, and I'm almost through. Right out of the text. Give thanks to God because he's good. I can say amen, benediction right there. Just thank God because he is good. Then thank God because his mercy lasts, endures forever. It doesn't run out for the child of God. I'm like, God's okay, no more mercy for you. And then sometimes people, children of God, we get disciplined by our father. Sometimes you keep acting a fool and God will just take you on out and just take you on to glory. But his mercy for us, his everlasting mercy never runs out. Then praise the Lord because, listen, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed, rescued, delivered from the hand of the enemy. We were bound. I said we were bound, sinking deep in sin. Heard to him. Far from there. I didn't know the next sentence. That's why I didn't say it. Far from. But we were seeking deep in sin. We were. But God himself sent Christ to redeem us. So thank him because he is a mighty deliverer. Thank him because he is a mighty deliverer. I said thank him because he is a mighty deliverer. And I can go on, but due to time, I'll just stop it right here. You might say, okay, I'm thanking him because he's good. You might say, I'm thanking him because he is merciful. His mercy endures forever. I'm thanking him because he is a mighty deliverer. He's a redeemer. And you might say, well, I've forgotten some of that. Well, just thank him just thank him because he demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank him because John 3:16 and 3:17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life." And then he turns right around in verse 17. He said, "For I didn't send my son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Oh, that's shouting. That's the gospel right there. That we were lost on our way to hell, but God sent Jesus Christ to come down through 42 generations, live the perfect sin-free life while he was on earth. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick. He gave people who couldn't see. He gave blind people their eyesight back. He allowed the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He cast out demons. He even rose people from the grave. Christ did that. Christ did that. He even saved folks like Zacchaeus. Matter of fact, Jesus, "I've come to seek and to save those who are lost." That was his rescue mission. He came to seek and save people like you and for me. So you ought to be thanking God that he sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to planet Earth, to live, and to die on that cross that Friday evening. I say he died on the cross that Friday evening. He died on that cross that Friday evening. Never get too casual. Never get too, "Oh, I've heard that. I've read that 100 times. Well, you need to read it again. You need to listen to it again. He died on the cross that Friday evening. He died for your sins and my sins. He hung out for our hang-ups. He died on the cross that Friday evening. Then they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Oh, you ought to be thanking him because early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And because of that, look here, he has redeemed us with his resurrection from the grave. And not only that, he ascended back into heaven. And even right now, be thankful that even right now, he's at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you, praying for me. I can make it if I know Jesus is praying for me. I can make it because he is praying for the child of God. He makes intercession for us. He prays for us. He prays for you. He prays for me. I wouldn't even be here today. You wouldn't be here today if Jesus had not been praying. I thank God for mama. I thank God for daddy. I thank God for big mama's prayer. But I thank God most of all for the prayers of Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all not hearing me? I thank God for the prayers of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to thank him because he is a good God. I'm going to thank him because he has redeemed me. I'm going to thank him because his mercy is everlasting. I'm going to thank him because he is a risen Savior. I'm going to thank him because he is praying for me. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, he prays for me. He makes intercession for the child of God. So I'm going to thank him while I yet have time. I'm going to thank him while I'm yet here on planet Earth. I'm going to say, "Thank you, Jesus." If I had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to say thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for reasonable health and strength. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for love fellowship. Thank you for the saints of God. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for protection. Thank you for guidance. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for just being who you are. I'm just thanking you because you are God. I'm just thanking you because you are God, and that's enough. I'm thanking him because he is the God of the universe who keeps this thing turning round and round. I'm thanking him because he is God all by himself. He is God all by himself. So I'm going to thank him because he's a good God. He could be an evil God, but he's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. The psalmist just said his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. So you ought to praise him. You ought to praise him while you yet. Let the redeemed, I'm in the Bible. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you got a little history with it, you can't help but to say, "Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I adore you." So you ought to praise him this morning. I'm through. Praise him a little bit this morning. Praise him a little bit this morning. Praise him a little bit. Thank him this morning. This is Thanksgiving season, right? You know, President Lincoln, back in 1863, even if he didn't say this Thursday was Thanksgiving Day, we got to be thanking the Lord every day anyway. Even if it wasn't on the calendar, we ought to be saying thank you, Lord, anyway. Thank you, Lord, anyway. Stand to your feet if you can. Get the Lord a hand clap of praise as you stand.